Welcome back to From the Ground Up with Mark Weller. Right now, we're going to just jump right into part two of the conversation with Michelle and Nick Freeman of the Freeman Companies.
Nick, I want to turn it back over to you. Let's revisit what we talked about at the beginning, the Maryland and Delaware beaches for a second. Mark and I have frequented those beaches for a long time. Those not in the Mid-Atlantic may not fully appreciate it, but between Rehoboth, Dewey, Bethany, Fenwick, Ocean City, it's a pretty special place. It's vibrant, social, super fun part of the country, mixed with beautiful beaches, unique architecture, and a variety of housing developments. Tons to do, dining, shopping, activities, and such. As we were talking about earlier, your company built Sea Colony in the 1970s, which really created a nucleus of energy down there in Bethany and at the beaches in general. You know, I was running around there when I was a kid back in the late 70s, early 80s. So I know it well. Tell us about your family's affinity for the beaches and how you essentially ended up really planting a flag down there versus other places, because you could choose to work anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, and Michelle touched on this earlier, you know, Carl really went down there right around the Bay, when the Bay Bridge was built. That was when, you know, he did the partnership for Sea Colony. And it's incredible. You know, people go over that all the time and don't really think about it, but that changed Delaware forever.
That's fascinating fact. That's really interesting. I drive over that bridge all the time and you could see where, oh, there's a bridge now. Let's go do something over there. That's
I mean, to think that people from our area used to drive up to Wilmington and then drive down to there is pretty crazy. And it really just changed the commute, which in my mind changed those beaches. But, you know, as you said, I think we have just a massive affinity for that area. I grew up down there. You know, we've grown up going there every summer. I think there's something incredible about it. You know, I think it's really low key. I love all the other beaches on the East Coast. You know, going to Nantucket or Hamptons is great. I love being able to throw on a t-shirt and go to every restaurant and not worry about dressing up, and just the low key nature of being down in Bethany and Rehoboth and Ocean City. So it's just, it's an incredible place. You know, I really do. I agree with you completely.
Yeah. Michelle. Yeah. We've shared some times down there, and a lot of people that we have in common spend their summers down there. It's just a really special place. For those of you listening who haven't been there, got to check it out. Following along on that point, I want to ask about the Freeman Arts Pavilion. I went to a concert there a handful of years ago, maybe 4 years ago. I think it was OAR. It's a really cool place. The town, the planned area around it, surrounding the venue, the whole master plan is just very cool. Tell me about how that came about. And of course, I have to ask you, like, what are your favorite concerts you've seen there?
That's so funny. I feel like my whole life is either, you know, building houses or entertainment and sports. You know, you asked earlier, like, what do I spend most of my time on? It is mixed use community, right? We really believe deeply in this idea that you can limit traffic, you can live better when you are within a 15-minute walk of a grocery store, a liquor store, your local, you know, CVS, Walgreens, whatever. And this community that we're just finishing right now is Bayside. I think I said it, you know, it was built around an 18-hole signature Jack Nicklaus golf course. And when my husband died, you know, he was 42 years old. He loved music. Like, that was his thing. He loved, loved, loved music. And as a family, we were like, how do we honor this human and not let it be like hokey or a statue, but, you know, and you're grieving, you're in deep grief. Your family has completely changed overnight. And quite frankly, beside the business, I really wanted to do something that brought joy to other people. And I say, like, there was this moment where my husband loved Guinness beer. And there was a moment where he was like having a Guinness. I think he was like holding a baby and he was listening to like the symphony over at Bear Trap, our other community. And it's like one of those memories that's seared in my mind. And I literally went to Patty Grimes, who at that point had been working with the company. She's getting ready to celebrate 40 years with the company. But I said to her, what do you think about like doing an outdoor venue? And, you know, the kids that grow up there, just to put it in some context, if you grow up at the beach, if you grow up in Southern Delaware, We call it an arts desert. I mean, you're driving 2 hours to 3 hours to have some kind of performing arts in your life, mm-hmm. either DC or Philly. And so that first year we had 13,000 people. We had like no real, like we had artists, but nobody that you would know. And people started coming, like bringing their chairs and blankets and whatever. You're like, wow, this is wild. Kind of like if you build it, they'll come.
Yeah.
And you know, we just announced that Jerry Seinfeld's going to be there for like,
oh, cool.
And you know, like Chicago's played there and Diana Ross and Yo-Yo Ma and I'm floored. And it does, like, you know, my sister just opened this little Italian market that's exploding. Like there's lines out the door, and it does show you, like, when you match a need to like what the community wants, it's amazing what's possible. And the leader of that, the executive director of the Joshua and Freeman Foundation, is a woman by the name of Patty Grimes. And she is literally a force of nature. And so we have grown from that first little iteration to a 4,000 seat community arts and entertainment destination that people make their vacations around. We're in our 17th year. And last year we had a couple hundred thousand people. And the most importantly, what I will say, I want to get in before we switch, is like, in May, we'll have 7,000 second, third, and fourth graders come to a musical production. We'll teach them about what it means to be an audience member, how to like clap, be quiet when it needs to be quiet, celebrate the artist when, you know, and we think that we're changing kids' lives that way, you know? And so, you know, the Jerry Seinfelds are important, but those 7,000 kids are the most important thing for sure.
Yeah, that educational piece is so important. I think a lot of schools have, you know, we were kids, we used to go to the Philharmonic in Buffalo. Right. They would take us twice a year to the Philharmonic, and you learned how to act and what to do. This is a public school. So I totally get it. And by the way, the Italian market you mentioned, your sister's, is unbelievable. I can't drive by there without just like picking up a container of meatballs or something. You know, it's like
they're my dad's.
I know there's a lot of family recipes in there. I follow all that. That's really cool. That's amazing.
But
on the philanthropic side, though, so tell us about, you know, the Freeman companies, and you personally and Nick are so involved with different philanthropies around. So where's your focus there, and how is your focus there beyond Freeman Stage? I see there's a lot of focus on giving back.
Yeah. There's two organizations. One is a public charity. That's the Joshua and Freeman Foundation that we just talked about. That was started when my husband was killed. The other organization that Nick sits on the board of is the Carl and Freeman Foundation. All that does is give grants and to areas where our employees live, work, and play. And so we're like, you know, my father-in-law, again, going back to the roots in Judaism, was like, to whom much is given, much is expected. You know, it's okay to be wealthy. It's okay to make a beautiful living and to have a beautiful life. But part of the secret of life is, you know, give back, do good. You can be both. You can be really successful and you can do really cool shit, and you have to give back.
Yes.
And so that organization does that. Nick's a part of that. Everything from, like, you know, Athletes for Hope to, I don't know, Nick, if you want to talk about some of the things that you're supporting right now, National Links Trust.
Yeah, National Links Trust, a lot of local organizations. We do some of the stuff with you, Mark, with Cal Ripken. And
you've been great supporters. And I mean,
organizations up there in amazing, Baltimore. Yeah. But, you know, obviously we love kind of tying in the business with kind of the philanthropy, and that's a, you know, Ted Leontis tenant, you know, the double bottom line, I think, is really special. And we've been able to do that with some of the stuff like National Links Trust, where they're, you know, restoring three golf courses in DC that have been kind of neglected for a long, long time. And I think it's going to be a great asset for the community. But things like that are really special when you get to marry kind of passion with philanthropy, I think is a really cool part of what we do.
No, I think, and that strategic philanthropy that really makes a difference in the communities that you work in, the areas of need, is so important and so underestimated by businesses. It's great to see you all have been leaders in this for years, but I think we're seeing a trend in that nationwide where you're seeing a lot of companies really, really understanding how important that is. So I commend you for that. So, you know, we've gotten a really clear picture of the company and its history and sort of understanding where you're at now and the things you're working on. But Tell me about the future. Like, what's the next, you know, this is why it's fun to have Nick on, and it's fun. You know, you're young, Michelle. You don't look like you're 57. You look a lot younger than that, but you're 57, well, right? You said that. And so, you know, what's the next 20 years look like? What does it look like for the company?
I keep telling Nick I'm never going to retire, and he looks at me with absolute horror.
You just got a thumbs up there.
You know, so I'll tell you my latest passion, and that is this community called Cool Spring Crossing. You can also find cartoons of me, you know, out on the internet of, you know, the greedy developer tearing down trees and making life terrible. But
it's a rite of passage. If they haven't made a cartoon about you, you're really not accomplished.
So yeah. Yes. That's well, yeah, as a developer, for sure. Agreed. But so here's what I'm focused on is Delaware is about 40,000 housing units under where it needs to be. The average person who works in Delaware can't afford to live there in Southern Delaware. So this would be this is about 800 acres. We're leaving an enormous area of undeveloped area. It will tie into the bike path that leads from Lewis into Georgetown. So you'll be able to bike from this community up to Rehoboth if you wanted to. It is a mixed use community with a grocery anchored shopping center and several different housing types, including, you know, affordable housing for people who want to live and work in Sussex County.
That's great.
And a program for that, right? So it's not just all about resort living and retirees who are moving to Delaware, which is certainly a huge part of our business in Delaware. Nick will tell you I'm uber focused on this. At the same time, we're building a 70 single family homes on an old farm in Fenwick Island, Delaware, with the Shell brothers as our builder. And that is going to be, you know, 25 deep water slips, and it's going to be gorgeous, beautiful, and probably very large homes right on the water. And I hold both of those things simultaneously, right? Like this need for housing for a county where sometimes I hire a PGA professional or an agronomist for one of my golf courses, and they can't afford to live in the county that I'm building in. And this resort buyer who wants to look out and see the bay and pull their boat up to their backyard. And I think as a developer, it's my job to hold both of those. And I think on the overlay of that, what I'll just say is to do all that and keep in mind that the environment is critically important to our children. Everybody's on this call's kids, my grandkids. And yesterday I was in Dover as my team won an award from the conservation community for using meadow grasses that don't require, you know, irrigation.
Congrats. So,
like, I think that's part of our business too, is like, how do I do this? How do I deliver 2000 houses, in this case, 2,900 homes, the size of a small town, mixed use community, and do it in a way that's the least, you know, abrasive to the environment and the best for the citizens of Sussex County. That's really what I'm uber focused on. I know Nick is focused on the retail side of our business and playing with the big dogs. And that is, you know, every REIT that's, you know, trying to buy up every piece of retail too. Nick, why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, I think we're interested from a commercial perspective, growing our management. I think we do a really good job in terms of managing grocery anchored centers and retail centers up here. And really we're focused. I think, you know, when I hear that question, I kind of think back to your guys' first question, just like our history, what we've learned. I mean, I think, you know, Michelle's done a really good job of, you know, having us focus on our core competencies and what we're really good at, which is kind of that retail piece, the community development piece, highly amenitized communities down in Delaware. Maybe we have a chance to bring those up to Maryland in some capacity. And then our retail piece up here. And so, you know, I'm looking at sourcing deals down in Delaware, you know, up in this area, or managing and partnering with other people. And as you guys know, it's a challenging time. You know, rates are high. It's hard to buy. You know, it's expensive to build, but I think there are still opportunities out there, and we're looking at growing the portfolio and assets that we can hold on to for a long time.
Yeah, and this too shall pass. You know, you're in the game. You're in the game, and you're working towards it. And the one thing I'd say about everything you just said, both Michelle and Nick, is that it's really, you really have a triple bottom line, like we like to say, which is we put the environment, the community, and profitability all on the same footing. And we think of all those things as we work and we build inside. And that's exactly how you all operate. People call it a double bottom line. I actually call it a triple these days, particularly when you're building in environmentally sensitive places, with marshlands, beaches, or lakes, and all these different waterways that are really affecting a much broader broader community. So I congratulate you on that, and I love what you're doing. And I have one last question for you, Michelle, because I think it's important for young folks, entrepreneurs, and girls and women to hear, which is, you know, talk about your successful, powerful businesswoman. You know, you've risen to prominence in the field, and you know, real estate development in particular. How does this work for somebody young who wants to get in this business? So a younger woman or girl who's graduating college or picking a degree in college, what's your advice?
Yeah, I mean, so two things. I want to go back before I answer this and just say the one thing I'd add to your triple bottom line is, you know, more and more what we're finding is you have to connect people. The people are kind of lonely today, and our communities, we are more and more focused on wellness and connecting people through classes, through opportunities for widowers to get together, retirees to be focused on something other than sitting home and doing nothing. And so that's the only other piece I'd add to, like, what's the future hold?
Yeah.
Is the future holds like connecting human beings in retail and our resi projects. So, and neighborhoods and communities so that they're not so lonely. I think loneliness is it's not good for our, I mean,
it's a killer.
I think these phones are incredible pieces, an incredible tool, and does a lot. The phone and the computer has done a lot to separate human beings. And I think real estate developers can be the connective tissue to bring them together.
I totally agree with everything you're saying. And I think COVID exacerbated the whole problem. We were already working towards this, and these problems are so bad. And I think COVID made it really obvious on what we needed to do and how we needed to do it. And could not agree more on everything you're saying regarding the phone. It's an incredible piece of technology, but overused and overutilized, and social media and all that stuff. It's really dangerous stuff, particularly for young folks. Yeah. And, you know, I admire that you're taking note of that. And I love that you're actually taking action through your work, through your day-to-day work in your business.
Thanks. Well, and so then I'll just address, like, my gender is, like, Nick will tell you there's, like, it's still that I walk into a room, and a lot of times I'll sit, whether it's in sports or in community development and golf, that I'm, you know, I'm the only chick at the table. And, you know, like, you'd like to think that we, the four of us, can, you just keep pushing our business along so that it's more inclusive of everyone. I have a 20-year-old daughter, super smart young lady, and she's going to do an internship this year with Edens, you know, and I think it comes down to continuing to open doors. You know, somebody sent me a picture from the Urban Land Institute, and I had a big group from my communities division up there, and it was like five women sitting there listening at the Urban Land Institute, all young, all thinking about different ways to do our business with the same, like, look, you can be focused on doing the right thing financially of looking at your bottom line, but opening the doors for other people. And for me, I'm not ashamed to say that many of the doors that I've walked through have been opened by really strong, courageous men. And, you know, I think about Ted Leonsis. I think about some of my business partners who have said, do you want to be in on this deal? And then I think women like myself need to go talk to other women and girls about opportunity, whether it be in sport, whether it be in construction, whether it be in real estate, community development, and keep space at the table for these young women. Yeah. That's what I think it comes down to.
Yeah, that's great. And you have to be intentional about it. It's funny because I'm just a average old white male, and I would have never known anything about this business if I wasn't lucky enough to meet one person whose father did it back in 1986 when I moved to Maryland. And if I didn't meet that person, I wouldn't even know this was a profession or something I could do. And it turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me. But if you don't meet that person and you don't get that introduction, I don't know how you get somewhere. So being intentional about it. And we have several women who work in our business, working on projects and so on. We work with a lot of women around the industry. And it's just so much better to have a diverse workforce than it is to be just males or just, you know, this, that, or the other. It's a much better result in the outcome. So that's awesome. And hopefully you keep that going. And I know you inspire everybody.
Well, thank you, Mark. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I mean, we could speak for hours on this really interesting conversation. And Michelle and Nick, just so thankful that you came on and really fun conversation.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming on today. So fun to talk to you.
Listen, I just love that you guys are doing this. I love that you're talking and spreading the word about, you know, our businesses. And I mean the development, this community development business. I love what you two are up to. I follow you two. And
Thank you.
I'm grateful that you think we're in the same realm of being able to sit and chat with you guys. It's been good.
No, this is incredible. I will say this. When Matt brought up the idea of doing a podcast many years ago, I said, who would listen to it? And now I get more phone calls from people. And it's not necessarily that it's this huge, broad audience. It's people seeking specific information about subject matter and or people's companies. And so it's been incredibly successful and a lot of fun, quite frankly. And that's why we've kept it going. So having you on today is just incredible because it shares and sheds a whole different light on a whole different business, a family business that's super successful for years. So thanks again for coming on. This was amazing.
Thanks for having us.
We appreciate it. Thank you guys.
That's going to do it for us today. A big thank you to Michelle and Nick Freeman of the Freeman Companies for being with us today. If this episode was of interest to you, check them out at freemancompanies.com. As always, we'd love to hear from the audience, so hit us up on Instagram or LinkedIn at Weller Development. Thanks for listening. I'm Matt Rienzo. He's Mark Weller. Keep building, people. We'll be right back.